Merhaba from Keswick Village. This is the Rorschach Turkey Update from the 12th of August, 2025. A quick summary of what's going down in Turkey. On Sunday the 10th, a 6.1 magnitude earthquake hit Balıkesir-Sindirge district, shaking western Turkey. 16 old buildings and two mosque minarets collapsed, with many more damaged. Rescuers pulled 5 people from the rubble, but an elderly survivor later died. The interior minister said teams checked every street and village with the Disaster and Emergency Management Authority to assess damage and urgent needs. Many locals spent the night outdoors, fearing aftershocks that kept shaking the region. Several tremors exceeded magnitude 4 on the Richter scale and were felt as far south as Izmir and as far west as Turkada. Phone networks collapsed soon after the main quake, leaving people unable to reach one another. This sparked renewed complaints about phone companies charging high fees despite offering unreliable service during emergencies. Speaking of tragic news, throughout the week, firefighters fought multiple forest fires across Turkey's western and southern regions. Authorities fully contained several of them, while others remained mostly under control. Evacuations took place in areas where flames threatened homes and farmland. On Tuesday, the 12th, firefighters finally managed to control a major fire in the northwestern city of Çanakkale that spread to residential neighborhoods, allowing crews to focus on cooling and cleanup efforts. Local waterways and airports temporarily closed to support firefighting efforts. Similar tough conditions continued in the midwestern cities of Manisa, where strong winds and dry weather made controlling fires challenging. Officials continue investigating causes. Teams remain on alert as crews push to prevent new outbreaks during this hot, windy, and dry season. On Friday, the 8th, the newly formed National Solidarity, Brotherhood, and Democracy Commission under the Terror-Free Turkey Initiative held its second session in the Parliament's ceremonial hall under full confidentiality, where the Interior Minister, the Defense Minister, and the Intelligence Chief briefed members on national security operations. Officials framed the effort as a historic step toward reconciliation and stability, with the next session set for Tuesday the 12th to further develop proposals for lasting peace and resilience. On Sunday the 10th, authorities launched a new investigation into journalist Faith Altalya, in prison since last June on charges of threatening the president over a video he posted on the 5th of August on his YouTube channel, which since has been blocked. Altalya, who sends letters from prison to read on his channel, discussed the Terror-Free Turkey Initiative. He said Devlet Bahçeli, the leader of the ultra-nationalist Nationalist Movement Party, or MHP, sent a poem by a Turkish poet to Abdullah Öcalan, the leader of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, or PKK, which Turkey, the United Nations, and the United States consider a terrorist group, alongside a note that praised Öcalan as the, quote, architect of the process, end quote. The gesture challenged the strict nationalist stance of the MHP in the public eye. The new charges accuse him of spreading false information, risking 1 of 3 years in prison. His court hearing is set for October. Speaking of Altalya, on Monday, the 11th, the journalist jailed in Istanbul's Marimar prison had an interview with Ekrem İmamoğlu, the imprisoned mayor of Istanbul from the Republican People's Party, or CHP, and the party's presidential candidate, also held there. Altalya sent the questions he wrote down through lawyers, and İmamoğlu replied the same way. İmamoğlu spoke about the ongoing peace process with the PKK, emphasizing it involves more than just the ruling Justice and Development Party, or AKP. He stressed that peace requires democratic and inclusive efforts with all parties of society involved. He also said he is trying to learn Kurdish in prison to connect with his Istanbul's large Kurdish community. However, his growing engagement with Kurds drew criticism from nationalist supporters. In other news, on Sunday the 10th, authorities detained lawyer Rezan Epozdemir. He represented families in high-profile femicide cases like Munevar Karabulut, which sparked national debates on justice and women's safety. His work often challenged powerful figures, making him a controversial figure and exposing him to threats. The Istanbul Chief Public Prosecutor's Office charged him with bribery, aiding the Ulenist organization which Turkey holds responsible for the 2016 coup attempt and political and military espionage. Police searched his home and office, confiscating digital materials. Officials also restricted his passport due to 4 separate criminal investigations. Apozdemir denied all accusations and called the detention a setup by a lawyer he had conflicts with. He said authorities had previously dismissed these allegations after an investigation. Since we mentioned the police, on Saturday the 9th, law enforcement detained 5 activists from the Rainbow Association and the Walk for Palestine platform near the presidential complex in Beshtepe. The group had set out to hand a letter to President Erdogan urging stronger action in support of Palestine. Officers stopped them before they could enter the grounds, taking them into custody for questioning. The incident caused a brief commotion around the complex and drew attention to growing frustrations among some citizens over the government's stance on the Israel-Palestine conflict. Reports said the activists planned the demonstration to coincide with heightened tensions in Gaza, hoping to pressure the government into more decisive measures. On Friday, the 8th, the rector of the National Defense University sparked debate by saying the term Tukele, meaning from Turkey in English, doesn't exist in history or literature. He argued that people identify by their nation, like French or Japanese, and dismissed from Turkey as a new unnecessary label. The term Tukele stirs controversy as Turkey's constitution defines all citizens as Turkish. Some see this made-up label as rejecting national unity and fueling separatist rhetoric that threatens social cohesion. İbay Artali, a prominent historian, weighed in, saying Tukele doesn't fit logically and joked about its meaning being untranslatable. On Thursday the 7th, the Mudanya district in the northwestern Bursa municipality under the CHP backed the police, cleared dozens of unlicensed deck chairs, tables, and umbrellas from the Guzaya beach, a public seafront. A local business had taken over the space without permission and charged high prices. The owner said the AKP, who led the municipality before the CHP, had just fined them and let them operate for over 11 years, but said the current mayor ruined local businesses with strict enforcement. Officers removed all items, fined the business, and reopened the beach to the public. The municipality warned that no one can take over public beaches for private use. On Sunday the 10th, a video of Hakan Bahadar, the AKP mayor of Istanbul's Bacilevlar district, went viral after he harshly confronted a market vendor selling tomatoes for 50 Turkish liras, about $1.50, which the vendor had bought wholesale at 20 liras, about 60 US cents. The vendor explained that rising costs, wholesale prices, transportation, and losses from the summer heat pushed the price to at least 35 liras, nearly a dollar, by the time it reached the stall, leaving only a 15 lira or 30 cent profit margin. Despite this, Bahadır pushed for a price cut, which the vendor accepted. The incident sparked praise from shoppers, but also criticism, with many saying the mayor's tone was disrespectful and ignored the vendor's challenges. Critics argued that blaming small sellers overlooks wider economic issues, calling on officials to show respect and support local businesses rather than publicly shaming them. On Monday, the 11th, a video of a Turkish expatriate living in Europe complaining about paying traffic fines at Turkey's border went viral, sparking widespread debate. The expat expressed frustration over having to settle unpaid fines before leaving the country, highlighting a rule enforced since 2021. This policy requires all drivers to pay traffic fines before crossing the border. Most people think that while these expats followed the strict traffic rules back home in Europe, they act like Turkey is a place where breaking the rules has no consequences. The reality is different. Visitors must obey Turkish traffic laws or risk being stuck at the border until fines are cleared. Officials urge travelers to check and pay fines online before traveling to avoid delays. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't worry, it's free. Send us your ideas at info@rorschach.com. Moshe Kalin.